Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Today, we are going to continue with our conversations around the CEO Macro Briefing book series for today, focusing in on insights on artificial intelligence, AI. Now, this is a special edition of the regular presentation that harnesses the research of the Chief Investment Office for our business owner clients. With that, joining me here today from UBS CIO within UBS FSI. Glad to have with me at the table Senior Asset Allocation Strategist Paul Hsiao. Paul, great to be with you here at the table. Thank you for once again dropping by.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. So, Paul, talk to us a bit about the state of AI adoption for businesses in the U.S. What have you been seeing?
Yeah. So, Dan, just a step back. This presentation, CEO Macro Briefing Book, Insights on AI, is just one of the latest presentations we have on AI. Earlier this year, the asset allocation team came out with AI economy, a roadmap, showcasing how we're seeing how AI affects both macro and markets. This is a more targeted presentation. It's basically 10 questions that we're hearing from our clients about the state of AI and adoption. So going back to the original question about what's the state of AI and business adoption in the U.S., what we're seeing is that it's growing. A conservative estimate from the Census Bureau shows that around a quarter of businesses have adopted AI nationally with great variation. Technology firms are leading with around 45%, and then less AI-exposed industries like utilities is lagging behind the national average at around 11%, but they're one of the fastest-growing segments. So throughout the U.S., we're seeing AI adoption climb. Other indices that use different methodology, like the RAMP AI Index that surveys around 70,000 firms within the U.S., about their paid AI subscriptions, showed a much higher adoption rate, about more than half of firms in the UI adopting AI in some form of business function. Again, with those sector differentiations, technology leading and then less AI-exposed sectors lagging, but they're one of the fastest-growing segments.
As we're seeing this expansion of use cases across businesses, industries, Paul, what are businesses saying? What kind of feedback have you been hearing in terms of AI usage at the moment?
I think in a word, it's efficiency, but not earnings. So people who do use AI within employees say that they're saving around 1 to 4 hours, depending on what tasks they use and what sort of AI models they use. Is it just chatbots or just more agentic functions that can automate a task? So that's between 1 to 4 hours given a specific task. And I think that's a pretty large chunk of the workday that can be automated through AI. That all said, we take a look at the Q2 earnings season. A lot of executives are saying that what we're seeing in the numbers, which is AI adoption, is increasing, but it's just not having that tangible impact on earnings just yet. But they're quite positive on that. One reason is that even with all these AI adoptions, it's quite supplemental rather than if we believe that this is a wholesale change, just like how the internet was. The work has to be rethought of with AI as the forefront. And that's something that a lot of businesses haven't done because it just takes a lot of time to get those processes in place. So it's kind of similar to what we saw at the turn of the century when we started adopting electricity. That technology was there, but it took one or two decades to actually have night shifts or the work schedule around electricity actually in the office. So we're seeing that happening right now with the efficiency, but done not just in earnings.
You're seeing an increase in operating efficiency, not large scale disruption at this point.
That's right.
So when we think about tokens, Paul, there's been a recent decline in token price. Do you believe that's reflective of lower demand?
So for our listeners, tokens are thought of as a basic building block or currency of AI usage. It's a string of text that when you input a prompt, that prompt gets broken up into small strings of text. And then when you receive something, that also is usually a text function that is also an output. And obviously more complex questions with more complex answers requires more tokens. So with any sort of laws of demand and supply, if we think that demand for overall AI computation is rising, we'd see more competition of these tokens. But the opposite has happened in the last couple of weeks, even though that in the larger trend over the last, let's say, 2 years, the dollar amount per token usage has been steadily rising, no matter what front you have taken it. There's a lot of reasons. One is just LLMs, large language models, have become much more efficient at processing these tokens. Two is that the processors made by large firms like NVIDIA, that architecture has been made with AI at the forefront. So they're processing these queries a lot more efficiently. So that's a software and a hardware reason why tokens are cheaper. And the third is that there's just more competition from internationally. I think about a year and a half ago, markets really reacted strongly to the Chinese release of DeepSeek that was a cheaper, more efficient model that at the time was thought to rival some of OpenAI's function. And now I think the delineation is much more clear, where US models are at the forefront of how complex, how agentic, how much computational power that they can do. So the complex reasoning things are really US-led. But for a lot of firms that really are just using AI for more efficiency production, they don't need that expensive or as complex of a model. So they're using less intensive models that use less tokens in order to prioritize this usage. And I think this has pretty big business implications, because for the median AI cost per employee, that's around $12 per employee for businesses. But for the top 1% of users, that number has risen to $7,500 a month from $2,500 in just January this year. So for those power users, token usage is really a concern and should be for our business owner client segments thinking about how to budget properly for next year.
Well, very helpful, Paul, when you put some numbers around it. So thank you for that clarity. As we begin to close out the conversation, midterm elections here in the U.S., just a couple of months away at this point. We've been talking about this for months now. AI is increasingly becoming a political point of interest. I spoke to several of your colleagues recently about a data center build out in particular, how that's impacting communities. How should businesses, Paul, think about AI as we head into the U.S. midterms?
I think another tricky thing for businesses right now when they think about integrating AI to their workflows is what sort of regulation that they can expect, because the pressure for regulation, I think, is building both nationally and locally. You spoke about data centers, and for a lot of folks, even those folks who enjoy the productivity benefits of AI, it's just that the grand public views AI as a negative in the U.S., which is quite unique amongst DMs, because they see it as something that is increasing their utility costs, something that could potentially take away their jobs, and also a big sort of social change that's talked about in the same way we talk about, you know, highways or the internet or railways, for example. So there's a lot of uncertainty around that. What the public is saying is that they are concerned about AI usage more than excited, that they would rather have data centers not built in their backyard because it increases their utility costs. At the same time, we do have both Republican and Democratic lawmakers pushing things like the Frontier Act in Congress that aims to put some guardrails over what AI adoption can or cannot do and how LLMs can derive their sort of inputs. For example, copyright protection is something that's still a question mark for a lot of legislators. That all said, we see that states are leading the way. California, Illinois, Colorado, New York have put in some sort of regulation where either data centers can go or what sort of accounting methods that AI records should have for the long runs, or what sort of things they can or cannot compute. And I think pressures for a overall national strategy, I think, would be the ultimate outcome. When it comes in place, I'm not exactly sure. But I think ahead of the midterm elections, for those candidates that are more pro-AI or not, they might run into some headwinds, because the overall public sentiment in the U.S. is quite negative on AI right now.
Between policy implications, use cases, demand drivers, you've covered a lot for us today, Paul, here on Top of the Morning. So thank you for dropping by. To you, our listeners, again, I do want to point you to the publication Paul Hsiao has been making reference to on today's episode. That is the CEO Macro Briefing book, Insights on AI. This is a special edition of the ongoing CEO Macro Briefing book series. The publication is now available for you up on UBS.com. MacRumors.com/CIO. For clients of UBS, please reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the publication directly. Paul, until next time, thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus for a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS. Please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.